This is ESPN Radio.
Talking about the Dallas Cowboys letting us down, and that is exactly what it is. Chris Carlin on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus on your smart speaker by saying play ESPN Radio, and of course on SiriusXM Channel 80, the telephone number to be a part of the show, and you should be today. I would urge that with the NFL season starting tonight is 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And you can do just that by being a part of the ESPN Radio Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN. ESPN Nation presented by Dr. Pepper. College football is back, and so are the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper. The one fans deserve. It is the Dallas Cowboys visiting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to kick off the 2021 NFL season tonight. And let's start on the Buccaneers side of this. It's hard to imagine a team that is set up so brilliantly to repeat like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are. And dare I say, we have not seen this level of preparedness in history, because you have a team that has 22 starters returning from a Super Bowl championship team. That just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen at all. And there are so many out there, including Tony Dungy, who is on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max this week, who believe that especially this Tampa Bay offense can get even better this year. Here's the coach.
Well, you know, I saw them last year, and everybody was thinking big things early. And I, knowing Tom and competing against him, I thought it was going to be tough with really no training camp and not getting that timing right. But I think they're going to be so much better on offense. As a matter of fact, I talked to my buddy Clyde Christensen, who coaches the quarterbacks, and he says they're light years ahead of where they were at this time last year. So I expect them to come out firing, and I think they're going to have a fantastic year on offense.
Think about that. Light years ahead of where they were last year. It's a full year of Antonio Brown added into Chris Godwin, added into Mike Evans, added into Gronk, added into a two-headed running back running game with Leonard Fournette, who may get more run now considering how great he was down the stretch of the postseason last year, and Ronald Jones. And then you've got the quarterback. I don't know if this is actually possible, but we haven't talked enough about Tom Brady. And what I mean is one specific aspect of what's going on here. Guys, Father Time is undefeated. In every other instance, Father Time is undefeated. Yet somehow Brady not just keeps winning championships, he keeps beating Father Time, who is the most formidable foe of all. When does it end? When does the Brady era end? When do you actually start to see him slow down? There is truly only one professional athlete that I can think of that has been able to summon the performance that Brady has at this age and this late in his career and never really lost out to Father Time, and that's Barry Bonds, and we know why that was. And I'm certainly not saying that's the case here with Brady. I want to know exactly how he has been able to maintain this level of performance. TB12, all that, that's all fine. But when you surround somebody like this at a point in his career 2 years ago, when you didn't necessarily believe that the greener pastures were ahead, that there was a lot left in that tank. Remember, Tom Brady's tenure in New England ended with a Logan Ryan pick six, and people were really questioning as to whether or not he had enough left to go somewhere and lead a championship team. But the reason that Tom Brady has been able to do this is quite simply the talent that has been assembled around him. If you were at this age to put him in a situation where he didn't have this level of receiver, this level of dominant offensive line, this level of tight end with Gronk, even at this advanced age, and that level of defense, I don't know that we'd be seeing Brady continuing to defy father time, but he has. And it's really unbelievable that, you know, that cliff that he was about to fall off, at least that, you know, Max talked about a couple of years ago. And frankly, there were more people than just Max Kellerman that actually thought that cliff was in front of Brady. I was one of those guys. Why wouldn't you think that when you know who the opponent is? You know, down in career, time gets everybody, right? Well, it hasn't gotten this guy, but I think it's primarily because of the people that have been around him. And so he continues to thrive. And then you have the opponents tonight, the Dallas Cowboys. As I said, it must be football season if we are expecting the Cowboys to let us down. I went back and did some digging through the last 25 years for just to provide some context. And the Cowboys have a winning record over the last 25 years. I'd call it barely when you consider that they only have 7 double-digit win seasons during that stretch. Think about that for a second. 7 double-digit winning seasons, 10 games or more over the last 25 years. We know how bad they've been in the playoffs. They've been 4-10 during that stretch. 10 playoff appearances in 25 years and have only won 4 games and have not gotten past the divisional round. That's absolutely remarkable for America's team. So let's talk about what happened last year. We know that Dak got hurt. We know that they didn't have Lael Collins and they didn't have Zach Martin nearly enough to be successful. And we know that Zeke had a down year. So immediately you would think that the Cowboys should be that much better, right? Dan Orlovsky doesn't necessarily think so, as we heard on Greeny yesterday on ESPN Radio.
I don't think Micah Parsons makes this a 0-4 team into a 4-0 team, so to speak, to what they were last year. And I look at Tampa Bay, the team that won the Super Bowl, that blew everybody out near the end of the season. They're better. I mean, they are markedly better. Joe Tryon, if Micah Parsons is going to make that big of an impact to the Cowboys team, well, Joe Tryon, their first-round pick out of Washington, who's been dominant, is going to make that big of an impact to their defense as well. So that's kind of a wash, essentially. So I think the Cowboys are going to be better than the 0-4 team that we saw last year. But they are so dependent on so much unproven youth on their defense. If they go from 32nd to 20th, that is a huge jump.
It is a huge jump, and I can't necessarily expect that to happen. The Cowboys gave up 30 points a game last year. 30 points a game. But here's the bigger thing to concern yourself with. They gave up 30 points a game against what was statistically the easiest offensive schedule in the league. In other words, of the amount of offensive output that all of their opponents had, it ranked dead last in the league. And yet somehow they're giving up 30 a game. And now you're just expecting for guys like Keanu Neal at this age, for Micah Parsons to come in and make a huge difference. I mean, Kelvin Joseph's already on IR. Trevon Diggs is a good corner, don't get me wrong. But I don't look at Randy Gregory and DeMarcus Lawrence as continuing to play at a level that is going to hide the rest of the Cowboys' weaknesses on defense. Why would I think that? Can the Cowboys go from giving up 30 points a game to giving up 26? Maybe. But still, that when in the grand scheme, is that a huge jump? It's not. And that's why, for me, I just look at the Cowboys, and betting the under on their season at 9.5 is such a no-brainer. 9.5 at Caesars Sportsbook, because look at the last 20 years. I'm a history guy. I'm a resume guy. And when it comes to this organization over the last 20 years, if you bet the under on their season win total, You won two-thirds of the time. 14-7 since 2000 if you bet the under on the Cowboys' win-loss record. That's unbelievable. You're going to have to win a good amount of shootouts this year. Micah Parsons is not walking through that door and changing the complex, the entire identity of that defense right away. He may be amazing. He may be even might even be defensive rookie of the year, and he will improve them, but not to the level that is going to take them above that 9.5 win threshold. They're going to have another middle of the road season, and they are not making the playoffs. By the way, in case you were wondering, yeah, Zach Martin is out tonight. He didn't even make the trip to Dallas because of the COVID protocols. As far as Dak Prescott, buckle up, Jack. Could be a rough one. Could be a rough one. Let's get to some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. My friends, it's Chris Carlin on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Look around the league, and interesting storylines to me. The number one that comes to the forefront right now that hasn't been talked about throughout the offseason is the bounce back year and which player has the most pressure on them to have the bounce back year. Who is that going to be? Is it Dak Prescott? There's certainly a ton of pressure on him considering that he has not been hit since October. And he is walking out onto a field tonight without his best offensive player. And the Cowboys are trying to get out to a decent start this season. And he doesn't even know what it's like to be hit again quite yet. You know that that's going to be in his mind throughout a night like tonight going up against a physical defense like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But what does that mean for him this year? Dak has plenty of pressure on him because things fell apart for the Cowboys when he went down. So that's no surprise. That's going to happen when you lose your starting quarterback. But when he comes back, you immediately assume that you're good, that the team is in fine shape. It's not Dak Prescott. Is it Odell Beckham? Well, I mean, no. And it's pretty simple. When it comes to a player like Odell Beckham, pressure is measured in dollars. And Odell Beckham's already gotten paid. He got his huge contract already. And in case you haven't noticed, if you go and look at what his numbers have been since 2017, the first 3 years of his career were absolutely brilliant. Ever since, they haven't been anywhere near it. He's got plenty of games missed because of injury. He's caused plenty of drama along the way, got traded after the Giants decided to commit all that money to him. And the numbers have not even approached what he did in those first couple of seasons. That's 10, 11, 12, 13 touchdowns a year. Now we're talking about 4, 5, and 6 touchdowns a year with Baker Mayfield. Remember when he thought Eli Manning sucked? Yeah. It hasn't exactly shown the grass to be a whole lot greener on the other side with Baker Mayfield, and he can't stay on the field nearly enough. So you would think naturally, with what Cleveland has to try to prove this season, that they are on the other side of the hump, that they are a playoff team, that it would be Odell Beckham that had so much pressure on him. Or maybe even Baker Mayfield, for that matter. Well, it's not Baker at this point because, yes, he still needs to get paid and he still needs to lead an organization, but it's an organization that has really positioned itself well with everything he has to work with around him. He proved himself to be a very good quarterback last year. I don't think Baker Mayfield is going to fall off the cliff. I think he's a really good player and he's going to get paid this year. But what about his wide receiver? Here's the Browns quarterback on Beckham.
Yeah, obviously his catching ability speaks for itself, but I think people forget how truly fast he is to be able to take the top off the defenses, and safeties have to worry about that. And And so teams are going to have to defend it and pick their poison, because we obviously, we're a physical run-first mentality team, and that's not going to change no matter who we have out there at receiver. But he adds an element to where teams are going to have to decide.
Keep giving the football to Nick Chubb. Keep giving the football to Nick Chubb. That's how the Cleveland Browns are going to win this season and have other receivers be a factor like Donovan Peoples-Jones, guys who are not necessarily the names. Jarvis Landry is still a really good player. Jarvis Landry could still make a difference. Can Beckham? Mayfield's going to say all the right things. I need to see it. But he doesn't have the most pressure on him. Does Jameis Winston have the most pressure on him? It's an interesting thought. Here he is trying to salvage his career. He has never been what everybody would have expected him to be with the number one overall pick in 2015. He has never approached it. He's been a solid quarterback, but oh, so interception prone. And they threw the football so much in his last year in Tampa Bay. And now he's going, and so now he goes to New Orleans with the coach that is supposed to save his career, that believes in everything that he can be. He spent a season there already inside the system, and now he's got the job, and he's taking over for Drew Brees. Is that a lot of pressure? A good amount. Not the most. Not the most. I think people expect the Saints to take a step back, and are people really expecting Jameis Winston to play at that exceptionally high level now that he's got a new coach? And he's in this system now for the second consecutive year? I don't think the expectations are that high. Pressure gets tied in with expectations. Is it Zeke Elliott? I mean, you can go back and look at what happened last season with Zeke. He was just not good. He was just bad. And we can talk about the offensive line all you want. And we can talk about losing Dak Prescott all you want. Well, he didn't have Prescott. They're loading up on him. Guys, Zeke Elliott after Prescott went down averaged 3.3 yards a carry. So I'm making your point, right? Wrong. Tony Pollard averaged 4.8. Tony Pollard ran the football better than Zeke Elliott did last year. That's just true. And he's a dynamic part of the Cowboys offense. Again, a team that always has such high expectations and always lets you down. But because at this point, those expectations tend to include being let down, I kind of think there's not as much pressure on Zeke. It's not him. So who is it finally? Get to it, big head. Here's who it is. Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz by far has the most pressure on him of any player in this league. He is walking into a situation in Indianapolis with the head coach that he spent a lot of time with early in his career as an offensive coordinator and had the best single year of his career prior to getting hurt in 2017 with in his second season. He looked like he was headed for the Hall of Fame very early in his career. He had a couple of good seasons after that, but again, banged up and not really making all of the big plays that he needed to when the Eagles needed them the most. And he had the shadow of Nick Foles quite literally facing him down every day when he went to work. For those who don't know, there is a statue of Nick Foles with Doug Peterson outside the NovaCare complex, drawing up the Philly special from 2017. Can you imagine being Carson Wentz and going to work every day and seeing that? Seeing a statue of the other guy that took over for me in the most iconic moment in Philadelphia sports history? It ended poorly there. He didn't want to be there. You started to hear whispers and stories 2 years ago about how his teammates really didn't care for him all that much. Well, Carson Wentz never got that second big contract. And now he's going to a situation in Indianapolis where there are no excuses. You've got a great running back in Jonathan Taylor. You've got a very good offensive line including with Quentin Nelson, and you've got playmaking receivers. I mean, there's nothing left for Carson Wentz to be wanting to try to go and win. Here he is. Here's Carson, excited for week one.
This officially really feels like it kicks off game week when you come in and you're full go against Seattle. You know, you got the game plan in, got a lot of things going on, super busy day. Early alarm clock today when I woke up, it officially registered in my mind it's game week and it's go time. And so, yeah, a lot of things, a lot of boxes being checked off, both physically and mentally, but a lot of excitement at the same time.
It's go time on your career, Carson. That's just what it is right now. And that's where that pressure comes from and why he has the most pressure on him of any player in the National Football League. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Who do you believe has the most pressure on him in the NFL? Are the Cowboys going to be that much of a letdown? Is tonight going to be a blowout? It's all there for you. The lines are open. Let's hit them. This has been Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. All of our guests will join us via the Goodyear Hotline. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. You could save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com. Up next, your calls at 888-729-3776. But a segment that you will get to know over the next few weeks, only if you're interested in winning money. That's it. So many times I have done things other people's way, and it has never paid off. Well, guess what? Today, we're doing things Carlin's way. That in moments. Now it is time to celebrate because, yes, the NFL is finally back, and DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL, has millions of reasons why you should be excited to kick off the football season. DraftKings is giving new customers a free shot at a $1 million top prize with a total of $4 million up for grabs for tonight's opener. Getting in on Thursday night's single game showdown is easy. Draft six players from the season opener, stay under the salary cap, see how your team stacks up against the competition. So head to the app now. Feel the NFL action like never before with a free shot at $1 million payday. What are you doing? What are you doing? What you're doing is downloading the DraftKings app now and use code PLAY. This week, new customers can get a free shot at the $1 million top prize and $4 million in total prizes. Enter code PLAY to get a free shot at the $1 million top prize with your first deposit. That's code PLAY. Only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Carlin's Way, next on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
This is ESPN Radio.
I'm sick of doing things somebody else's way, so we're doing it my way. That in 3 minutes. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us via the Goodyear Hotline. It's Chris Carlin right here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Let's hit the calls at 888-729-3776. Dan in Fort Worth is up first today on ESPN Radio. Dan, are the Cowboys going to disappoint you, Dan?
Carlin, the Cowboys are going back to the playoffs this year.
Oof. How?
Good reasons why.
Go.
Okay, you said you're a history guy. Let's deal with recent history. I don't care about 20 years ago because those guys aren't on the team anymore.
Yeah.
In the last four seasons, the Cowboys have finished in the top 10 in defensive yards allowed three of the last four seasons. Only time they didn't was last year's horrible defense. To me, that's an anomaly. So recent history says defense is going to bounce back. They're going to win 11, 12 games and make the playoffs.
Look, the yards allowed is one thing. It's when the defense, and thanks for the call, Dan, doesn't make enough of a difference in the ultimate results. And it hasn't made enough of the difference in the ultimate results for the Cowboys for the last several years. And look, I understand about what happened last season. And I'm willing to cut you a little bit of slack there, too. But they still have bad stretches in the season. I mean, the second half of 2019, that was bad. I mean, their defense wasn't atrocious, but it wasn't amazing either. I also get more concerned about points allowed than I do about yards allowed. I always think yardage is a bit of an overrated statistic. You can't, I mean, 2019, you start the season 3-0 and you finish 8-8. I mean, come on. No, not good enough. Got to be better than that. Got to be better than that. Think about it. Marinate about it. Take your time. Because right now, I'm going to introduce you to something new. My friends, a few years ago, actually last year, I had finally had enough. We had reached that limit. We had finally done some self-realization. And that self-realization led me to the following. I suck at picking games. I have always sucked at picking games. I've never been good at it. I never will be good at it. And there's no reason for me to ever do any real research other than talking to you about handicapping games and thus trying to pick winners as a result. I am the worst. That's it. So I came to this conclusion before last season. There must be something I can do, right? I've tried to do it everybody else's way by analyzing things, by looking at injuries, by looking at all that. Got me nowhere. I was never anywhere over 500. Last year I said, you know what? Big man, let's try something new. And that's how I address myself. Big man. Big man, let's try something new. Let's go to these matchups, and we'll pick them with the spread, sure. But let's find the most obscure fact that we can about the two towns involved, pick our favorite, and that's how we're picking the games. It's Carlin's Way. And it's brought to you by My Computer Career.
You just had all these stats and trends earlier. You're not doing it this way for your picks? Come on, man.
No. Because when it comes to actually having to put your name on the line and behind something, there's no winners there. And I'm interested in people winning because when I did it this way last year, Raj, guess what? At winning percentage, 59%. Bingo, bango. That means if you hung with me, you won money. That's what I'm interested in. I do this for you. I don't do this for me. Game number one is tonight. It features the Dallas Cowboys visiting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You might have heard that is the season opener. According to Caesars Sportsbook, the Buccaneers are 8.5-point favorites. Did you know that the Great Florida Birding Trail is a network of over 500 birding sites? And Pinellas County, Florida, is a favorite spot for bird watchers due to the mild climate, diverse ecosystems, and variety of trails and parks scattered all around the region. Bird watchers win it for the Bucks tonight, -8.5. Game two.
Wow.
Steelers in Pittsburgh.
You don't get to hear the other fact?
No.
No, it's the most obscure fact.
Of either team. I don't know what the other one. What are we going up against?
Because we're doing it Carlin's way, Bubba.
We're just trusting that the other one.
Not Bubba's way.
All right. This is not Bubba's way. This is Carlin's way. Game two. The Steelers visit the Buffalo Bills Sunday. According to Caesar Sportsbook, the Bills 6.5-point favorites. Did you know that R&B soul icon Rick James was born and raised in Buffalo? His exact quote about the town, it's a great town, but it's a strange place. Straight from the mouth of the king of funk.
Nice.
Bills -6.5.
Ooh, Game three.
Chiefs -6 against the Browns, according to Caesars Sportsbook. Did you know that in the city of Cleveland, they celebrate Dingus Day? Each April, hundreds of Clevelanders take to the streets on the city's west side to celebrate the local Polish heritage and be part of the fastest growing polka party in the world. You might even get a glimpse of Miss Dingus herself. Browns plus six. And finally, game four. Packers, 4-point favorites on the road in New Orleans, according to Caesars Sportsbook. Did you know that more toilet paper is manufactured in the city of Green Bay than any other city in the world?
No.
Packers minus four.
I can't even believe that.
Yeah, it's these true. Were verified.
Don't worry about it. It's been verified. That's why we do it. Carlin's Way. Brought to you by My Computer Career. Training for a better life. I hope you wrote it down because I'm not repeating it. Coming up, plenty of candidates, but who is going to be the team that so much is expected from but will disappoint beyond the Cowboys? Promise. There are other actual candidates. So you think you know Wrangler jeans? Well, let us introduce you to some exciting new additions to the legacy. Just check out Wrangler.com today. Discover tons of new styles, all the latest denim trends, and more. Who's going to let you down? We tell you next on ESPN Radio at ESPN Plus.
From the biggest names in sports.
Justin Herbert, ladies and gentlemen.
To the stories that matter.
The New England Patriots want to play that way. They want to protect
and
the
plenty of opinions.
It's simple. Justin Fields is better, but I'm willing to.
And it starts every morning with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max right here on ESPN Radio. Or just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN Radio. This is ESPN Radio.
Chris Carlin, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus on your smart speakers. Say, play ESPN Radio. 888-SAY-ESPN. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. The disappointments that are coming in the National Football League in 2 minutes. First, it is Andre from Massachusetts who is up next on ESPN Radio. Andre, who's got the most pressure on him as a player this year?
Most pressure as a player has to be Mac Jones here in New England, based off the fact that not only does he have to stand tall as a rookie going out there starting from day one, but he has Bill Belichick's legacy on his shoulders. I just saw a quick stat. People are believing that he's going to come in and, you know, his jersey sales, him and Justin Fields, people are purchasing the jersey. You should see it here in New England. They're confident that the team is back on the right track. But what has he achieved?
He has not achieved anything. And I don't do that to him quite yet. And thanks for the call. We're not putting it on a level for Mac Jones with that pressure. That pressure may be there in New England, but across the country, in the league, it's year one for Mac Jones. They are expecting him to be good, but I don't think anybody expects him to lead the Patriots to the Super Bowl this year. Maybe to the playoffs. Allen is in Massachusetts. Next on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Alan, who you got? What's up?
Hi, calling about the Buffalo Bills. And
go.
I just want to talk about last season, how Josh Allen just exploded. And I just think Josh Allen's going to have another breakout year. He was the MVP candidate last year. And I think he's going to take this team to the championship again.
Josh Allen is going to finish second for the MVP this year. And it's going to be very close, but the MVP of the National Football League this year is going to be Matthew Stafford. Josh Allen's an amazing, amazing player, and the Bills did the right thing when they took him when they did. And if you ever thought that you can't teach accuracy, obviously Brian Daboll has been able to do that. Now, when we talk about teams that can let you down, we've already discussed how the Cowboys – are a team this year that is going to disappoint because it's what they do. Having said that, there are two other teams in particular that I think are going to have letdowns from what their expectations are. I wanted to put the Browns in this category, but I can't. I've got the Browns barely making the playoffs. I don't think that they are an amazing powerhouse team in the AFC yet. But I think they're not that far off. So I'm not going to call them a letdown if they're still going to make the playoffs. The two teams that are going to be letdowns, the Indianapolis Colts and the New Orleans Saints. From the Colts standpoint, it's around Carson Wentz, and it's around his ability to recapture what he was 3 or 4 years ago. The problem is, that's 3 or 4 years ago now. You know, Wentz, if you want to go and look at the numbers about Wentz, that's fine. And you'll see that it wasn't all that long ago that he had a 27-touchdown, 7-interception season. But that didn't tell the whole story about the Eagles. There were fumbles, there were missed throws, there were a lot of things that happened with Carson Wentz in Philadelphia that had that situation fall apart on him. And now he goes to Indianapolis, and I think he finally does feel that weight. You get a lot of pressure when you're in Philadelphia as a quarterback, but now it's at a different level because in most ways he is trying to salvage his career. I don't think he's going to play well. I just don't expect it. I don't think he's going to handle the pressure all that well. I don't expect that to happen. And I also don't think the Colts defense is going to be that great. I'm not counting on that at all. As far as the Saints are concerned, this is all about the quarterback. I don't trust Jameis Winston. That's all there is to it. I don't trust him. I don't believe that all the difference in the world is going to be made by Sean Payton. I think when you start to look at players that way, you realize that it happens so rarely that a coach can completely change what a player is. We saw it with Ryan Tannehill, who just took a long time to develop. I don't think this is a long time to develop with Jameis Winston. He might have thought that in Tampa, he had to go out there and make every play, and he may feel like there's less pressure on him now. And I think there is to a degree, because I don't know that people are expecting all that much, but they're expecting the Saints to be a pretty good team based on Sean Payton. And by the way, let's not forget about the Michael Thomas drama, okay? They have sat down and discussed his situation, and everybody says everything's okay, but this guy's been ticked off in the organization for quite some time now. Plus, you're not going to see him for a few weeks because of the choice on the surgery anyway. The Saints are going to be a major letdown in the NFL this season. Chris Carlin, ESPN Radio.